Who are you? What do you do here at XML?
I work on XML. My name is Jean-Paoli.
Yeah.
Paoli. And I am an XML architect in Microsoft. What I do is I work with different product teams to understand the XML architecture and vision in general. Lately, you know, I was working a lot with Office, and before that with Windows and Internet Explorer. And also, I work a lot also externally because I try to understand what governments needs and what the customers need, just in general, for XML, so we are sure that we are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That's something I really like.
Now, before I came to Microsoft, I saw your name a lot in the press. And because what role did you play with developing XML?
Well, I'm one of the original co-creators of XML.
The co-creator?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how XML was designed, how it was developed, who played part in it.
It's very funny. We are a community since maybe 20 years. It was at the beginning the HTML community. I work in this area in HTML since, I think, 85, you know, like 20 years now, almost. And we always have been, wanting to change the world. I'm talking about, 96, 97, 90. We were like, sometimes we'd go on some what we called HTML conferences. We were like 50 people or 100 people. You know, when we were 500, it was a huge success. And it was like every year, I remember, we would meet in November, December on the East Coast. And I was in France at the time. And we would just say, how open data and some structured information can change the world. And so, for like 10 years, 15 years. And then the web came. And by what it did. And so we really started thinking, well, we need to simplify HTML because obviously not a lot of people could use it, but there was a lot of good ideas. And so that's where I started talking to Tim Bray and James Clark and all these people that, I'm talking about the early 90s.
Yeah.
And also I talked to Tim Berners-Lee and other people like this. And so, and then we kind of, the internet went very big and Microsoft approached me. So I told Microsoft, that HTML was not good enough. And so, if they wanted to recruit me, I'm going to come to do something else. This was a conversation I had with a good friend of mine, Adam Rossworth, who recruited me to Microsoft.
Yeah.
And we are really good
now,
friends.
Some of these names are right. Tim Bray is at Sun Microsystems.
Yeah.
Adam Bosworth now is at Google, right?
Yeah.
He was here at Microsoft.
Yeah. He recruited me. He's a very good friend of mine. And I'm talking, James Clark is doing open source now, and John Bozak is at Sun, Sharon Adler is at IBM. Those are friends, we know each other since 15 years. It's really a community, you don't have to understand. It's something where people know each other, they trust each other. We don't really care from where you work, people move, and we just believe in something. And this was incredible because when I moved to Microsoft, it was in April 96, 1 month after my move, we created the committee in the W3C. And at that point in time, nobody really cared about it. We were like 11 people. We loved what we were doing. And in 6 months, we did the actual original XML spec. We created it. And actually, I have, if you want, I can show you the original spec. This is very, very, for me, it's very important because this is very short. It just was a few pages like this. And I remember, this is in November 96, we presented it, and it was the first time where we were able to simplify this HTML, standard that had a lot of nice things in it, with the ideas of some structured information.
So what was the core vision behind the development, the advent of XML?
This is a great question. The idea is that every kind of information, if it's data or document, can be represented in a format that is open text, so people can use it without a tool. It's not binary, it's text, so people can go and create it by hand or using machines. And it is what we call summing structure, meaning a lot of kind of information, not only relational information, which is very organized, but also information in documents can be presented in these tags and the way we structure it today, that everybody knows today, right? Mm-hmm. And when we presented this at the HTML conference in November 96, I remember the first press about it, and I kept it here. It's actually here from from Siebold, it's Mark Walter, who wrote that. It's December 10, 96. It's very important. It's the first time I saw anybody talking about that, and I remember he interviewed me, and I was in Microsoft, but I couldn't tell him. I was dying to tell him we're going to implement it. I was actually starting implementing it, but we had to wait a few months to implement it and to announce anything.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Any other questions? What else do you have in your office? There's some cool stuff. I see you got the won the XML Cup the other week, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about what an honor that is. What does that mean?
For me, I'm very honored, but because of the XML community, trust me, and for me it was I'm a guy who grew up doing Unix stuff. I'm an Emacs hacker. I wrote shell script and a system in Unix. And so I worked 15 years in this environment with all the open standard people. And then I moved to Microsoft the best interesting thing is that I was able to organize this work between the Microsoft developers and the open standard community, and that's what it represents for me. It's basically having Microsoft working in a community and having the success that we had.
Now, let me just put this back on the chart here. Yeah, just look at me here and look at him.
Okay.
Forget the cameras here.
Okay.
It's just between me and you.
Okay.
XML has come a long way, right? And we now have RSS and Atom and syndication and all sorts of other things that have sprung out of that early
effort. Yep, yep.
Give me the state of XML.
We should go and celebrate. we really need to go and take some French champagne and drink something.
Are you buying?
Absolutely.
What's the best French champagne, by the way?
I like Veuve Clicquot and... We really need to go celebrate. The XML community need to go celebrate big time, because the whole world now is in XML.
Yeah.
People just forget that. The press and, they just go and find, the latest spec or whatever it is, right? And there is a bunch of specs that has to be done. But the thing is, today, I don't know any standard that reach so much maturity, because today on the server, the databases, SQL Server, MySQL, the IBM, etc., WebSphere, everything on the back end, BizTalk Server support XML. Everybody's have a SOAP implementation. How many SOAP implementations exist? Everybody, you go to the website and you see literally hundreds of SOAP stacks. And since a few years, Office, that's kind of my latest baby, InfoPath and Office XML, exists, which means that today documents, which is a big vision, that's kind of where I personally believe in this vision between documents and data, and it's the same thing basically, and Office people today, users. That people in nurses and hospitals, in Swedish hospital, in the New York Presbyterian Hospital, in hospital, nurses are using InfoPath, with a tablet PC,
yeah,
to in ER, rooms, because it's very important to have the people who need the patient to where you take their names and, for example, put the allergy, etc., etc. This is a document that you create, and then this document goes to the doctors that do not know the patient, who are in ER, and because it's XML and because it's structured in a right way, they can go and check what's happening in databases, etc., etc. You have people in engineering, you have people in tech support. We have people in engineering in Continental who are using this to do a document. So,
why did it take the development of XML for that to happen? Why couldn't it have happened with something else? Why?
Because that's the core vision that I'm trying actually to explain to the world since 20 years now, and we're right finally to do that. The problem is that the classic technology for documents was focusing on the presentation, how you present information in a document. And if something is bold or italic, etc. And it's very useful for some scenarios, but for a lot of other scenarios, where you want to consider the document as a source of information, you need to say what is inside of the document. You know, a tax document is different than healthcare, is different than an insurance, which is different than, you know, an RSS feed, which just, you know, those are things that are different. And until now, we did not have the proper technology in terms of user interface, because doing user interface is very complicated. You need to do it in the normal tools, and that's where I'm very happy. You know, how we created InfoPass and Office, etc., where now we have this custom schemas that represent the content, the semantics, if you want, that now can be put inside of a document. Actually, I have here, you know, I have a few screenshots I want to show to people to understand what we're talking about. It's very simple. This is the example of a letter. So this is a Word document. Okay, so it's an actual legal statement of understanding. So think about it. End users are using a Word this way, but actually what is generated is XML, which says that, you know, it's a tag name called contract, and it's a lawyer office, and, you know, and a description. And so with something like this, you understand that developers can go and write, you know, Perl script if they want, or C#, or whatever they want, to extract the information, find the lawyer office, and put it in the database. I mean, it's impossible to do that just by looking at the letter.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult. I have another example to show you. This is with InfoPass. This is about a form, a sales call form, also very classic. And this time we're reporting, this is like, think about it, it's a salesperson who's reporting what he's selling on a weekly basis. Well, he used this kind of thing, but actually InfoPass is generating this kind of stuff. So this is other set of tags. You know, this is customers. We're talking about lists of customers here, let's say. And you understand that now is also software, any kind of a real, you know, developer can write that in 2 minutes, right, with Perl once again, or C#, whatever, and on the back end, go and extract the information and put it also in a database. Same thing with Excel. You know, in Excel, let's say here you are using the spreadsheet with these numbers and adding them up. Well, this information could come from, you know, a web service providing you this kind of XML. This time also, the kind of tags are different. It's about sales and account. So the idea here is the content of a document is so important that you need to try to put around, you know, to explain what it is, because until you explain what it is, we cannot treat it electronically.
Yeah.
And it's about data. And so that's the big, you know, vision that I believe in since 20 years, and I'm trying to kind of have it working at the world level, at, you know, worldwide. Because think about it, half of your time you are creating documents. That's what you do when you do email and PD, you know, and HTML and things like that. And you are actually the humans are actually spending time creating this information. And if what they created was captured in a meaningful way, then the computer can work well, best with them. And we would be creating, in my opinion, a treasure, you know, for humanity, because it's, you know, all the knowledge of people which is getting into this medium, which is a computer, and today which are almost not usable.
Right.
So it's a very important to keep for, I would say, for, you know, for the next generation, a set of a corpus of information that could be reused and find information. So, you know, we talked a lot about search, but I really believe that in general, you know,
well, this would help search, too, because...
This would help search, but it's not only for search. You see, it's just, it's really this dynamic way of thinking about the same thing you're thinking about. For end user, it's a document, because that's what people understand. And the same thing is for computers, for IT people, it's data. There's no more difference between those things. Until now, the technology were just not there. And now that they are there, I believe that we can, you know, we can think about the next level of XML, you know, in terms of thinking, which is understanding that now client and servers and web services technologies exist, so people can start using them, and because people are using them and understanding they're using massively, then we have these kind of information created, and then we have another set of tools that could start being thought about, which is how to use this millions of, you know, documents that contain the semantic information. That's something very interesting for me, because this is really the next step up of this revolution. This is I'm very, you know,
I'm very excited about that.
How do you get people to move from the PageMaker world where the document is representing, you know, the words and the look, mm-hmm. to this kind of world, to a world where you have the look, the content, and then you have content about the content?
We do it using templates. I mean, that's how we thought about it. We just thought, you know, end users do not understand these things. We just need to make sure that the things that are decided to be interesting, somebody who understands both the UI and the data comes and build a template, and then end user use the template. So this is very important because, you know, I work, for example, a lot with governments. I went and worked with the Brussels, you know, with the European community, and a lot of things are happening in Europe in general in terms of e-government and XML. It's fascinating. Yeah. I work with the Danish government. When in Brussels, it was with a committee which talked about open file formats, and you know, and it was so interesting. They don't even ask themselves if it's XML or not. It's XML anyhow now, right? And so, you know, to interchange documents between government institutions, for example, or between a government institution and a citizen, or between government institution and a company, they all think it's XML now, and they are creating, the Danish government is creating a database of schemas. It's just, you know, they already have thousands of schemas. The Brussels already have, you know, the old, and so when I went and met with them, actually in the morning, it was funny, it was Tim Bray in the morning discussing what Sun was doing. In the afternoon, it was me and the Microsoft people. And it was very interesting because the reaction was, it's really great, you know, Microsoft is doing an open file format. And they congratulated us, and they sent us a, you know, 1 month ago kind of a nice letter saying that, you know, it's great that IBM, Sun, and Microsoft are actually, you know, going through the recommendation of the European people and saying that, you know, their file formats are open. And it's very interesting for me personally, because who would have known that we arrive at this level, you know, less, you know, even 5 or 6 years ago. It's
some of the myths I have. Let's go to Office, right? Some of the myths I have in my mind, and I've heard around the blogosphere or the internet, are Office is closed. I have to have Office to open up a Word, you know, Word document. I have to have Word to open up a Word document.
You know, since 8 years, 9 years. When I started doing XML in Microsoft, and you know, at the beginning, really in 97, Microsoft was the only company implementing. I mean, really, there was only a big company. You know, there was, of course, you know, small HTML companies, my friends, etc. But we were the only people, and we were doing submissions to the W3C, and you know, a lot of I put in contact with Microsoft developers, with people from the open standard community. We spent 1 week here, for example, with James Clark and Sharon Adler, preparing the submission in Redmond, eating pizza, you know, and to do the submission for XSLT for the W3C. So we did so much things. And always I got this thing, why is Microsoft doing something like this, which is open? It's funny, I got this since 9 years, so I'm going to respond to the question maybe for the 1,000th time, it's okay. It's just good for our customer, for God's sake. I mean, that's what we're doing. You know, we really, I was a manager of MSXML. I started the activity of XML and Microsoft. So I was a manager of this team, I'm talking 8 years ago. And I know, we implemented MSXML, and it was completely conformant of everything we did. Because, think about it, when you are using a protocol, and when we say this protocol, right, this XML format, has to interoperate, because all the scenarios are like this. It's about, I have this machine, I'm going to create some information, this information is going to go to another machine on the internet. And this other machine has to understand the information. Well, when you do something like this, if you don't implement the right standard, this other machine is going to refuse to read you. So it's going to be a bug. So we're going to have PSS, you know, the people who do the phone calls, receive bugs from our customers. It's going to be a bug. It's not going to be, is Microsoft open or not? It's just going to be a bug, because our vision for Microsoft is to have this open data vision where you have the same information, the same person. Okay, everybody has today a PC, has a small phone, it has a, you know, whatever, a smartphone, whatever, right? It's the same person. okay? And they all use different, right, this is one, right? That's what Robert is using now, okay?
Yeah.
So, of course, you know,
and
everybody have a small screen, big screen, and so the important is the data.
Yeah.
We understand that, you know, and it's open data, so this we have to be extremely conform, 100% of everything we are doing is XML, because that's how we enable this free interchange. And you know what? We are. I'm in a corporate, you know, in a corporation here. Of course, we need to make money, and we compete on software. I believe that InfoPass, for example, I don't want to, you know, but InfoPass is a great, you know, XML tool for forms, and I'm very proud of it because it enables custom defined schema. So yeah, I compete on products, and the open data.
InfoPath is something you can go to the store and buy, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, it's Office, wherever you buy it.
So InfoPath interoperates with other XML tools out there?
It's just XML. XML. And I, on top of that, it supports your schema. Meaning, you know, the format that goes out from it is your schema. It's not even defined by Microsoft. You take an XSD, you define it, you write the tags that you want, and you design a form that can, you see all these examples that I showed you?
Yep.
Those are custom defined schema, meaning schema that I don't, you know, it's you define, you do the user. Because you understand what you're talking about. You're talking about taxes or you're talking about RSS feed. Look, you see, you saw the actual cool thing with Excel that a few days ago. This was so funny. You know, yeah. Halo 2.
I'll link to it too.
You know, Halo 2 outputs RSS, right?
Yeah.
And so to do, and you know, to go to Bungie to put the actual results for the game.
Yeah.
And so somebody in Excel team went and spent half a day, I don't know, it was like really a few hours, and, you know, imported the RSS feed in Excel. Why? Because Excel support custom defined schema.
Yeah.
You know, Excel support the schema that you define, which is in this case RSS.
Yeah.
And he just did that. And it's funny because now it went through the internet. Everybody is using it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this
it
is
was
just
Halo 2 stats. So you
yeah.
can see how bad
yeah, it's a Halo 2 stat.
Bad I'm at
it. I mean, this is just, and for me, of course, it's cool because that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, and so. Same thing. That's another one. You know, Word ML and Excel ML
yeah.
and Spreadsheet ML, the two markup language for the presentation of the Office documents. That's what, you know, I went and explained to the European community that they were open, because it's open and we put a license which is open right to free, meaning everybody can use it. It's really, you know, you don't have to sign anything. And so that's where European community was very happy saying that this is great because they can use it for governmental efforts. And so there is a Java World. You know Java World .com. They did a nice article 1 month ago. I don't know when. You can link on it, saying that word processing ML and spreadsheet ML was a great markup language for reporting for the Java environment. So they show how on a Java machine you can go and, for example, extract some information from a database and create a Word document. I mean, I don't know how to explain that it's open more than about these kind of things, you know.
Yeah.
We can, it's just XML and it's you know, it's Unicode, and so you can go and use whatever tool you want to generate this format, and we read it and support it. That's the reality. And you,
so there's no more lock-in. Our customers can get another tool to do Word documents.
You know, Sun actually announced a filter between their format and word processing ML filter. You know, they announced it for Open Office. They announced it 1 month ago or something. Now, of course, you know, I don't know how to explain. You see, the thing is, the Office XML arrived a few years ago, right, in Office 2003. And I think people were surprised, but I don't think they should have been surprised, because Bill Gates announced in 2000 a huge strategy, you know, which is the .NET strategy. And I think people did not realize how fundamental was, you know, and strategic was this announcement. And what Bill announced was that Microsoft was going to interoperate across its product line using XML. You know, this is very fundamental. You know, Bill, I remember, you know, Adam and I, we went and explained to Bill XML early in 96, 97. So it was, you know, he just loved it and gave us resources to go and implement it. You know, and then it started getting, you know, we built in BizTalk and Exchange and Windows and everything. And it was a huge success. And so in 2000, after all these products started shipping this thing, he just decided, after talking with a lot of people, that the way we interpret with our products on the internet and extranet, you know, using HTTP and everything, is through XML. So this is a huge strategy. And why? It's because, once again, the data is for the user, the software is for the software maker. It's very simple. So, and we believe in that, and we implemented it. And so other people would continue saying why, and, you know, continue saying the same thing. And I'm just asking, please judge us on what we do. As simple as that, you know. And if there's any bug in any conformance, please tell me, because I, you know, I'm very passionate about it. So, you know, I would make it, you know.
As we can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.